Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Welcome to Studios America. We have a lot to cover tonight, which is really, really an understatement. But first, a word from our sponsor. According to the University of Utah's Drug Information Service, total active drug shortages hit an all-time high of 323 drugs in shortage in the United States of America. What is going on? This is in the first quarter of this year. There are 48 new shortages recorded this year so far. It's kind of weird, right? I mean, we're facing a pretty serious situation here, but there is something you can do to ensure that you have the drugs that you need when you need them. It's a solution that thousands of people have already discovered, and it's called the Jace case. It is something that can allow you to stock up on medication now so you're prepared. The Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. And we take this stuff for granted, right? I mean, it's the United States of America. Well, we can't do that anymore. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. Just fill out a simple form online and you'll have it in case you need it. There are add-on options as well with EpiPens and ivermectin, whatever you need. Jace Medical encourages you to take your family's health into your own hands. Go to jace.com, enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at jace.com, jase.com. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical at jace.com. Code is STU.
Stu Does America.
All right, the State of the Race podcast, it is available on the Stu Does America stream, wherever you get your podcast. Just follow Stu Does America, and you'll get that when they come out. You can also watch the show, plus a bunch of great bonus content on our YouTube page. I want to specifically direct you to the live broadcast we did on Friday night. We did it immediately after the George Stephanopoulos interview, which is an interview with maybe the highest consequences of any political interview that I can remember in a very, very long time. We did a full analysis of this, answered your questions as well, and we're going to be doing these a lot going forward throughout the election season. So when you go to youtube.com/StuDozAmerica, check that video out, but also follow the page and click the bell for notifications. If you do that, when we do these live broadcasts, you'll get the alert saying, hey, we're going live on this big speech or this big topic, this breaking news, and we'll keep up to date and together in constant communication throughout the election season. Let's go. So make sure you subscribe to that if you don't mind. North Carolina Lieutenant Governor is stirring up some controversy. We will get into what he said. I have an update on my Free Jay Johnston movement. Yes, a January 6th story we can all get together on. But first, we're going to do the comprehensive shunning of Joe Biden. I want to set this up with this. I have never seen anything like this, and I would venture to say you haven't either. We're talking about the left-wing mainstream media that has completely reversed itself over the past like week and a half. They've gone from an organization that has largely been built to protect Joe Biden in every way possible and has completely reversed itself into something that is attacking Joe Biden as much as possible, to the extent that they're highlighting supposed gaffes that, like, I wouldn't even pull for the show to make you laugh. Like, some of them are so minor. At one point, Joe Biden called Donald Trump his colleague, and they counted it as a gaffe. And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess they never technically worked in the government on the same day. Why would that even, they're both politicians. I mean, I don't think colleagues is a gaffe, but technically, I guess, maybe it's not the exact correct term to describe. I mean, we are at a weird, weird place. And we have a bunch of different ways to look at this today. There is the sort of effort to push him out, which is through the media. It's through donors. It's through some politicians, not through his family. Then we have the effort to keep him in, which is largely his family and very close allies. And then we kind of have the updates on his health and where this has gone over the past year or so, how fast this deterioration has happened. And we'll look into that as well. But let's start with the efforts to push him out. We saw the Stephanopoulos interview on Friday, and now that was supposed to be the thing that, you know, had everyone feeling okay, right? He had a bad performance. It was one day. And sure, we waited over a week to actually talk about it publicly, but we're doing an interview with George Stephanopoulos, a mainstream reporter. You can judge him on this. How did that go? I don't think it was his worst performance. And I've been saying that, like, normally there's a scale of 1 to 10 that you can judge politicians' performance on. Every piece of Joe Biden content kind of sticks between 1 and 3. Like, the best thing he could possibly accomplish at this point in his life is a 3 out of 10. This one was probably a 2 out of 10. It wasn't his best possible performance. Also, not his worst. It certainly wasn't as bad as the debate. But I don't know. Did it push any of these concerns aside? I think the only thing that does that is the timeline. And we'll get into that here in a little bit. But we should acknowledge, when you have Rob Reiner speaking out against you, you are in big, big trouble. You don't want Robbie coming out after you. Rob Reiner calls on Joe Biden to step down. It's time to stop effing around. He said, it's time to stop effing around. If the convicted felon wins, we lose our democracy. And the convicted felon, by the way, is Donald Trump. Of course, that's different than the felon that's not quite convicted yet, Joe Biden, or the convicted felon, Hunter Biden, which is totally different people. If convicted felon wins, we lose our democracy. God, this is tiring. Joe Biden has effectively served with honor, decency, and dignity. It's time for Joe Biden to step down. It may be time for him to step down, but he has not served with honor, decency, or dignity. I will not allow that to stand. He's been terrible since the day he walked into the Senate in 1973. He's been terrible the entire time he was vice president. He's terrible today as president. Now, if you're a hardcore leftist, I don't think you can look at his administration as a total failure. Yes, he's blown up the border and Afghanistan and inflation and all that. But you don't care about that if you're a hardcore leftist. Has he moved the structure of the country far to the left? I think the answer to that is yes. He's determined new pathways to go around the government as it exists with things like student loans and eviction moratorium. He was involved in DACA, which is a good example of this as well. He has spent trillions and trillions of dollars that we don't have on projects that will probably never stop being funded. He has spent dumped money into global warming. I mean, he is actually, if you're a leftist, if you're a hardcore leftist, maybe an AOC type, you might look at him as having a positive presidency. Of course, if you care about the results and what's good for the long-term future of the country, you're incredibly disappointed in this presidency because, I mean, he's horrific. Right now, we're at the point where the only difference here is that they've decided that Donald Trump might win. And so now we're getting a totally different thing. We all knew that Joe Biden was incoherent before, but they thought he would win. Now they think he will lose, so they're all admitting it. Four more Democrats in Congress call for Biden to step aside in the 2024 race. Sort of. Let me put an asterisk to this because it happened on a somewhat private call that they probably did leak to the media. But it was not actually like they didn't come out in front of cameras and say it. The big name on there was Jerry Nadler and his pants. The man who has his pants, who pulls them up to approximately his nipple region. That guy doesn't want Joe Biden to be in the White House. And that's important. Because if you can't take a guy with pants at his nipples seriously, who can you take seriously? So that's the Jerry Nadler situation. Biden troubles loom over Democrats' return to Washington. This is an important point schedule-wise that, maybe if you're not obsessed about this stuff all the time, you might not have considered. All of this has happened with Congress out of session. So they haven't all been gathering with each other at the White House and gossiping as much as normal. That is a big situation. What they have been doing has generally been around their constituents. And what it seems like is the constituents are a little bit more forgiving about this. They know Joe Biden is old. They've always admitted to themselves that he's old. They knew he was incoherent, but they really don't like Donald Trump. So they're not that concerned about him being incoherent. They just want someone other than Donald Trump elected. And they've told this to a lot of their representatives. Those representatives now are going back and they will get more of the inside the beltway thing going on. And it's likely to get harsh. Maybe some of these people who are saying outwardly that they want him out might get a coalition together. There are a bunch of letters being floated around Washington right now. Sign on to this letter. It says that Joe Biden should step down. And if they can get 30 or 40 or 50 of them together to say it, maybe it has some impact. I don't know. If I'm Biden, I'm not going anywhere. Screw you guys. I'm not going anywhere. I already won the primary. Screw you guys. Inside a despondent White House, aides gripped by unease as Biden's political future remains uncertain. And that's really, it's important to understand why they are at a level of unease. It's not that Joe Biden is incompetent and can't do the job as president and we might all get nuked tomorrow. It's not that sort of unease. It's, hey, what about my job? What about my money? What about my influence? What about my mommy? I want to tell her I've got a big job at the White House. What if that goes away? The aides are upset that Joe Biden's power may go away, which means their relevance goes away. Their importance in life goes away. The thing keeping them from being homeless, likely, goes away. And so they don't want that to happen because they want power, they want money, they want influence. They want to be able to brag to mommy about the cool job they have. So we will see if that continues or if they start bailing on him as well. There are different levels of, you know, how serious this gets. A couple of, I mean, you've seen the names that have called. Jerry Nadler's, I bring him up because he's probably the one name you've heard of out of the 8 to 10 that have supposedly called for this. Again, Nadler doesn't count. He didn't say it publicly. He said it on a private phone call and then leaked it to media sources. I think 4 or 5 have actually said it publicly. I want him out. A bunch of people are saying, well, we're concerned. We should look at this. None of that counts. Come out in front of a camera. Say you want him gone. That's what counts. You want to sign a letter, it's a little bit more of a wussy way out, but that counts probably too. Put your name to it, not as a report that you can later deny. Put your name to it, and then maybe it counts. But again, what if 200 Democrats came out and said, hey, we want you out, Joe Biden. So? You could impeach him if you want and remove him. I'd like to see that happen. That'd be funny. You could go 25th Amendment on him. Though the fascinating part about that is it doesn't actually preclude him from running. So you'd throw him out on the 25th Amendment because Kamala Harris does a basic coup behind the scenes. He could stay on the ballot and he could blow out Kamala Harris as his VP in retribution. None of this stuff seems serious to me. Kamala, the only way you get this done is to convince him. And convincing him has two levels here. We talked about this, I think, last week. Level one is appeal to his sense of history. Your legacy has been wonderful, and you need to protect it. You'll be seen as a hero if you step out. You knocked out Donald Trump the first time and had the bravery to step down to make sure it happened the second time. You'll be American hero. We will love you. Part of that also is 1B is sort of like bribery. Hey, you know that museum you're going to be getting? Wow, wouldn't it be great if it was 5 times the size? Wouldn't it be incredible if, like, all your family members had long-lasting jobs at high-level universities that paid them 6 figures? Those types of things are part of the convincing period. Appeal to his ego, appeal to his sense of history, appeal to his legacy, and maybe buy him off. That's convince. The second step is threaten. Hey, I'd hate to see Hunter Biden go to jail for 20 years. That would be terrible. Gosh, we've been seeing all those banking documents that have come in from the Republicans, and we know basically those seem to be complete scams. But should we take a closer look just to make sure? Like, what does that look like? I mean, what if all the media sources around the country started reporting those as real? And like all those accusations of you and your corrupt behavior in Ukraine weren't a right-wing fantasy, but were embraced as the truth by the whole media. That would be terrible for you and your legacy, wouldn't it? That type of stuff. That's step level two. And I think we're sort of starting to get there now. Democratic players are circulating a proposal for Biden to exit and launch a blitz primary. And I will say, like, I'm not a big believer in the blitz primary stuff they keep floating out there. I mean, they've got a month. Timeline-wise, it's important to understand. They've got a month, not to do this and start it, but like to finish it. Entire ticket needs to be set in 1 month from today. There is some wiggle room with that. And basically what I mean is the wiggle room is you do not compete in the state of Ohio, for example. Like you just cede the state of Ohio to Donald Trump. Now, they're not going to win Ohio. They could theoretically do that. There'd be all sorts of ballot access reasons. God only knows what that would mean down the ticket. But in theory, they could say, well, we just won't even fight Ohio. We won't be on the ticket. We can't do it. That could be a big problem for them, obviously. You also have a couple of other states we've mentioned before. It's unclear exactly how Nevada and Wisconsin would be affected by this. The Heritage Foundation basically says they're already past their deadline to switch. there's some, you know, certainly some back and forth legally that will happen if that is actually put into place. Bottom line is, they want to be on the ballot in Ohio. Let's just say a month. Okay, a month is their long-term deadline here. Now, if they blow up Ohio and say they don't need it, we're not going to win there anyway. Don't worry about it. They'd have a couple more weeks until the convention. They could float it later than that, even really. I mean, you know, I guess they could do all sorts of things. They can move their own. They make the rules. They could move their own convention date, I guess, if they wanted to. But we're getting into crazy town here. Like, once they get past the next couple of weeks, this isn't happening. Biden just needs to last the next couple of weeks. He needs to put himself through the next 2 to 3 weeks. If he can do that, and you don't get this rise of, you know, big. You can't have this constant drip of more people coming out and then a big burst and then more people. And eventually the pressure gets really high. And I always use the example of Andrew Cuomo in this situation, who has absolutely no soul whatsoever and still stepped down under a certain amount of pressure. Pressure is really hard to resist, even if your family's with you. But that being said, Biden doesn't need to step down. Why would he? Would you? If you were a corrupt official that all that mattered to you was this office, why? Screw you. Why would I step down? No. No. Basically, your life is over if you step down, right? You go into retirement. You are either a well-regarded or poorly regarded president, depending on who you're talking to. And it's over. You're Jimmy Carter almost immediately with this guy. That's the trajectory he's on. It's not fun. It's not fun. It's sad. Of course, the media is trying to make Fetch happen. Kamala Harris, is this Kamala Harris's moment, says the Wall Street Journal. The vice president is vigorously defending Biden, but many Democrats also see her as their best backup plan. It's really their only backup plan. It'd be impossible to skip over her. Yes, you could theoretically go to Michelle Obama, and maybe that solves some of those problems. It does not solve the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been raised. It does not solve all sorts of legal questions and problems and challenges that would come up if you just handed her the presidency. If Joe Biden stepped down and Kamala Harris also said she didn't want to run, maybe you could do it. But one of the big things that I think people overlook when they say go to Michelle Obama is if you keep Kamala Harris as the nominee, you can say plausibly, look, our policies were wonderful. Everyone recognizes that. But look, you know, I mean, Joe Biden just got old. So we've got the next best thing. The person who was there by his side for all these policies, it is Kamala Harris. You can do that and keep his presidency intact. Act like things were still good. If you blow out both of them, you're basically admitting this is not going well. That's harder to recover from. And yes, the Michelle Obama polls look good. But frankly, like when she gets out in front of the American people, that may very well reverse. I think you're likely to see movement on both of their polls. I don't think Kamala's will be as bad once she's the nominee. And I don't think Michelle Obama's will be as good once she's the nominee. And only part of that analysis is fueled by the fact I don't want to lose a bet to Glenn Beck. That would be very, very bad. By the way, Glenn is out this week. Pat and I are doing the radio show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Pat only on Thursday and Friday. But the question I asked him right before he left was, is Joe Biden the president of the United States? Is he the nominee when you come back? Still questions about that, which is really an incredible place to be. Democratic senators, Biden huddle has been called off. This was one of the big efforts. Mark Warner came out and said, I've got a bunch of senators. I'm going to get together. We're going to talk about how to get Biden out. Well, this got leaked to the media, and whatever the reaction was, because it was probably leaked by these people, who else would be leaking it? It was probably leaked by Warner. The reaction to it was not as positive, I guess, as they thought from party officials, and now they've shut down the meeting. There's some rumors they may still meet at a later date. We will see on that one. Now, remember Biden's big campaign to go show everybody he was senile, senility now, was to go on a couple. Well, was to wait several days and not do much of anything. At one point, they said, well, he has called 20 Democratic congressmen. 20? Your entire candidacy is on the line? You've called 20 people in the course of a week and a half? That's not good. You should have been on the phone with almost all of them by now. You should have had 10 of them at a time to your offices to talk to them and reassure them. If he was capable of doing that, it would have been done. Instead, he apparently called 20 very friendly people, and that was about it. He also went on a couple of African-American radio stations and tried to have interviews. These are supposed to be off-the-cuff interviews. He's showing that he's ready to go. Instead, what happened? Well, radio host was fed questions by the Biden campaign, and now they have been fired. This is Andrea Lawful Sanders, was about to do an interview, got questions. Hey, choose these some of these questions. If you want to interview President Biden, she said, yeah, I want to have President Biden on. I'll take these four questions. That's not how journalists do things. You're not supposed to do that when you have a politician on, especially in a moment like this. So she has actually been fired. Now, no word about all the reporters previously who have been leaked the questions from the media to the Biden administration. We've caught it on camera. We've caught Joe Biden with cards that had the exact verbiage of questions from reporters. He's holding the card. He's got a picture of the reporter. He's got all the text of their question. He calls on her. She asks that exact question. Those people didn't get fired. That happened a year ago. Did any reporter even ask a question about it? Did anyone get upset about it? No, nothing happened whatsoever. We're just in a different time. Then we have the Olivia Nuzzi story that came out, a story that referred to really, really shocking issues. Like, for example, you know, Olivia saying that she met with the president and has met with him many, many times. They met again and she did not, he did not remember her name. That is very, very strange. There's a bunch of stories that talked about going back to January through April. It was really disturbing. And I mentioned this on the Megyn Kelly show. I remember where I was when I was on the phone with my grandma, talking to her, having another great conversation because I adored her. She was the best thing in the world. And I remember where I was standing the first time she kind of like didn't know who I was. And I remember her asking who I was. And I was like, it's your grandson. And then about a minute and a half later talking, she asked again. And it was the first time I realized, like, this fade was happening, and it was real, and it was not going to be reversed. That's where we are with the president. That's where we are. It's really, really sad. As a human being, I'm really, really sad. For the country, I'm terrified. I'm terrified. You know, and I will say our reaction as a family was not to all get together and try to figure out what we can get out of her before she dies. That's not, we weren't, how do we manipulate this situation to our benefit? It was not part of our calculation. It was, good God, how do we make her last days comfortable? How do we get the last moments with her? How do we celebrate those moments? That's what we talked about. That's not what the Bidens talked about. That's not what they're doing. They're doing the exact opposite. And it's disgusting. I will say the details in this Olivia Nuzzi story are remarkable. Let me give you a couple of them. This talking about how he looks after the plastic surgery. This was true even in 2020. His face had then an uncanny valley quality that injectable aficionados call low trust. If only by millimeters, his cosmetically altered proportions knocked his overall facial harmony into the realm of the improbable. His thin skin, long a figurative problem and now a literal one, was pulled tightly over cheeks that seemed to vary month to month in volume. Under artificial light and in the sunshine, he took on an unnatural gleam. He looked, well, inflated. His eyes were half shut or open very wide. They appeared darker than they once had. His pupils dilated. He did not blink at regular intervals. The White House often did not engage when questioned about the president's stare, which sometimes raised alarm on social media when documented in official videos produced by the White House. The administration was above the conspiratorial chit-chat that entertained seriously scenarios in which the president was suffering from a shocking decline and most Americans were not seeing. If the president was being portrayed that way, it was by his political enemies on the right, who promoted it through what the press office termed cheap fakes, a caricature of an addled creature unfit to serve. They would not dignify those people or those people doing the bidding of those people with a response. That's shocking. And it's been going on a long time. Let me give you a couple more things before we go to break. How about this? How serious are these health concerns? How Biden's event staffers guide him behind the scenes? Axios got screenshots of real things they're giving to the Biden administration. Let me show them to you. Here are pictures of his walk to the podium. Two of them. We're talking about a five-step walk. They have to have pictures of it to show him where to go. And President Biden's physician has met with a Parkinson's disease specialist in the White House. We have now learned at least nine times, said Edward Rudy. This is a stunning, stunning development for a country that's supposed to be a global superpower. Can we even say that anymore? We'll be back with more in a second. Way too much to get to today. If you think you're prepared, take some notes from millennials and Generation Z. Not talking about the speechwriters for the president. I'm talking about like real millennials and Generation Z members. They have some things that they're doing right. It's not TikTok dances. No, no. We're talking about research showing that they're more prepared than other generations, which is kind of shocking. How are they more prepared? They're taking this stuff more seriously than their parents and their grandparents. Is that true? Well, if so, we have no excuse. If you're not preparing for what could come down the line at this point, you're failing. I'm failing. We're all failing together. Get started with My Patriot Supply. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans gear up for emergencies. They've got a popular four-week emergency food kit. This can't stay off on the shelves, basically, right now. But there is some available at this point. You can get yours right now at preparewithstew.com. Each food kit offers over 2,000 calories every day. Plus, with ultra-durable four-layer packaging, it lasts up to 25 years in storage. So you can do this once and kind of forget about it in case you need it. Order as many kits as you need. Save $50 on each one. Free shipping is included. Look, if even Generation Z is figuring this out, we should be able to figure it out. You have no time to waste. Stock up on these essential food kits at preparewithstew.com. Preparewithstew.com. Check this out today. Knock it out and don't have to worry about it for a quarter century. Preparewithstew.com.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
One of the real joys of the past week or so has been watching the media pretend like they didn't know Joe Biden was collapsing mentally, as if we didn't all see it. It was crazy. It was a conspiracy up until today, with a few exceptions, and we've noted them. But generally speaking, the media was on board with like, oh, it's a Republican talking point. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, actually said, someone wrote a piece, it might have been CNN, said like, you have to understand that the Republicans were saying that he was losing his mind. So he couldn't just embrace that. It's a right-wing talking point. Well, it was true. So yeah, you can embrace it, even if it benefits the right. I know it's crazy. It's been fun watching that happen. Look, he wasn't fine 2 months ago. I mean, I was thinking they should just fake like a story of him. You know, we didn't mention this, but he fell 2 months ago. And wow, I think that really was the changing point. They need like a point. It can't just be like he's been slowly fading for 4 years. I don't know. Like he had, you know, some bad sushi and this, we don't know. Use the tapeworm RFK response. It was like, he ate some dog and gosh, bad things happened. Now, it's important to understand what's going on here, because a lot of people will say, well, the left wants you to believe, oh, well, they just figured this out. He's been turning to the worse. It's sudden. We swear. Everybody knows that's not true. But a lot of people I've heard people on the right say, well, this one was just too obvious. Right. It was too obvious. It was in front of everybody. Everybody saw it. Everybody witnessed it. It was too obvious. They couldn't lie their way out of this. There's something to that. I'm not dismissing it entirely. But what I think is much more important is what occurred on debate night was a transition for the media and for the left that convinced them that Donald Trump was going to win. That's it. All of these decisions, the media suddenly seeing everything that you've been seeing, all the coverage, the calls for him to drop out, the op-eds, the editorial boards, all of these things are occurring solely because they now think Trump is going to win and Biden's going to lose. So they still have an opportunity to put him in. The second they have the opportunity lost to change the candidates, they will come back to him. If he holds out, and I don't know that that's a certain thing, but if he holds out, they will act as if this period never even happened. Wow, you know, actually, we've been talking to him lately, and he's much improved. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's found the right medication. Maybe there's just a miracle. Maybe he's cured Alzheimer's in his off time. He said he was going to cure cancer. He wasn't able to get to that one. But maybe he's cured dementia. They will do everything they can to convince you, actually, he's fine. Get ready for it. You're going to be gaslit like you've never been gaslit before if he can survive this. Nothing like this mattered to the left until they thought Trump was going to win. And that's really, really important. And
Charles C.W. Cook asks a really interesting question. He has a piece called, You Gotta Investigate That? You need to investigate that? Let me give you an outline of what he's talking about. The media insists they don't know how bad it was. If that's true, let's walk through the implications. If it's true, then the press was duped, and duped by the federal government of the United States. If it's true, then the executive branch has been engaged in a massive and effective conspiracy to keep Biden's infirmity from the people who are supposed to report the news. If that's true, then the media has been fooled by the White House. The White House outwitted the media. It embarrassed the media. If it's true, then the president and his political party colluded to suppress the ability of the sacred Fourth Estate to relay matters of public interest to the voters. And in the process, it made a mockery of the First Amendment. So is the press going to investigate that? Certainly sounds like a big story to me, writes Cook. By investigate, I don't mean lash out at the president in the hope that he'll be replaced by someone who does better in the polls. I mean, find out how this happened in the first place. I mean, discover who knew and when. I mean, name names. If Biden goes, he'll be replaced by someone, probably his own vice president. How is the press going to make sure that she and her team don't do exactly the same thing on a different topic? Yeah, kind of interesting to follow that little situation down that rabbit hole. Now, isn't it? And what's fascinating about this is part of the Biden response. And I want to bring you back to democracy, because this election, as you know, is about democracy. The left cares so much about democracy, your right to have your voice. Trump is going to destroy our democracy. Even Rob Reiner said it, so it must be true. But let's focus on what they've been thinking about when it comes to democracy. First of all, they twisted arms all behind the scenes to make sure that no one ran against President Biden of any import. They were all Marianne Williamson types. Then, even though they were only facing people like RFK Jr. and Marianne Williamson and Dean Phillips and a bunch of people that really had no chance of winning, they still created a sham primary process in which they manipulated the rules to benefit Joe Biden. So they couldn't even compete against Marianne Williamson and her crystals. Then they refused to do any debates in the primary. Democracy, so important to them. Then they actually canceled primaries in various states, saying there was basically no contest. They didn't really want to campaign and count votes, so they just canceled the primaries. Democracy. Mm-hmm. Then they tried to force RFK Jr. off the ballot in state after state after state across the country. And I'll add this to their love of democracy. They refused RFK Jr.'s Secret Service protection, you know, with the shrugging of the shoulders as to whether another Kennedy might get assassinated. Bah, let's see what happens, right? Roll the dice with your political opponent. That sounds like democracy in action now, doesn't it? He tried to sink third-party candidates like the Green Party and like Cornel West from ballot after ballot after ballot across the country to make sure they didn't interfere with the democracy that they wanted. Then, of course, they tried to get Trump eliminated from the ballot with Supreme Court and constitutional challenges that he might be a felon and therefore can't actually be president of the United States. And what if he was part of an insurrection? And what if we got him kicked off? These are things laughed out of courts, but they tried it over and over and over again. And then you may remember the slightly focused on effort to get Donald Trump thrown into prison. So therefore, RFK Jr. is not on the ballot. Either he's been attacked or he is just not on the ballot for legal reasons. No Cornel West, and no Jill Stein if they got their way, and no Donald Trump. So who's left on the ballot? Him? Anybody else? I don't even think they want Chase Oliver, the Libertarian candidate, on the ballot now because he's kind of a left-wing Libertarian. All of this is their way of celebrating democracy, of course. And then we have this. Biden firmly denounces calls to step aside from fellow Democrats. The voters have spoken. You see, they love democracy so much, they can't ignore the millions of people who voted in their sham of a primary. In the uncontested primary that Joe Biden won, that's too important. We're talking about people's votes here. We're talking about democracy, everyone. It's disgraceful. They keep saying they love democracy when over and over and over again They've done everything they can to destroy it in front of your eyes. They want the kind of democracy Saddam Hussein had in his country when it was Saddam Hussein and an empty checkbox. This is not a serious argument, is it? That they love democracy? You've got to be freaking kidding me. At the end of the day, they've done everything they can to make our democracy, quote unquote, weaker. And of course, we should all note, it's not a freaking democracy. It is a republic, that constitutional republic, has elements of democracy inside of it to make certain decisions. But it is not a democracy. It is not a majority rules. It is not, well, we really want this, so therefore we go around the Constitution to get it. It is a constitutional republic, one that this administration over and over again has acted as if it's kind of a speed bump on their way to all the glory and power that they could possibly desire. I'm not here for that. Maybe the American people will wind up being there. I'm not. And, you know, looking at this as from an electoral perspective, of course you want Joe Biden to be the nominee because he's so easy to beat. And any change in this election dynamic is a risk. The one that we have right now is one that Joe Biden likely loses. So you don't want necessarily any changes of that when it comes to the election. When it comes to all of our lives, when it comes to our country, Joe Biden shouldn't be president. They should remove him right now. That's the right thing for the country, at least for the next 6 months. Maybe it increases the risk of the election. If Donald Trump can't beat Kamala Harris, what does that say about Trump? I think he'd probably win that election too, but it would make it more difficult. You don't want that necessarily if you're Donald Trump, which is why he should be arguing that Joe Biden stays in forever. But at the end of the day, we're all sitting here, kind of sitting ducks with a president who can't think for 6 months. That's a terrifying, terrifying place to be. Speaking of the Constitution, did you know we had one? If you went to college, you might not even know that anymore. How about history? Have you ever taught the correct history of the United States? Economics, the things that actually work for the future of our country? How about the great works of literature? The meaning of that U.S. Constitution? Did you study any of those things in school? Probably not, if you went to public school and then some crappy university. But even if you did, would it be nice to have a great refresher? Well, time and technology have changed a lot of things. Some of them bad, but a lot of them really, really good. And honestly, our fundamental truths in this country about our world and our place in it have not changed. Technology can help us learn about them, though, and that's why I'm excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subjects. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories of the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the fall and the rise and the fall of the Roman Republic, and the history of our ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses. Take advantage of these things. And here's the thing, they're all available for free. So try that. Try maybe start with Introduction to the Constitution. This is with Hillsdale College President Dr. Larry Arn. These are courses that are self-paced. You know, maybe you feel like I don't have enough time for this. Dip in, try a little bit, take it at your own pace. Check them out today. They're free. Hillsdale.edu/stew. Hillsdale.edu/stew. Go there, enroll. It's free. It's easy to get started. It's Hillsdale.edu/stew. Register now. Hillsdale.edu/stew.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Unfortunately, sometimes on the show here, we miss the mark and we don't always connect you with the information that you need. Connection to information that is important for you to understand the world and make important decisions. We told you about Rob Reiner's opinion on whether the president was going to step down or not, but we forgot to tell you about Minnie Driver and what she thinks about her residence in certain states if Donald Trump gets reelected. And I apologize. We own that mistake. Okay? But Minnie is speaking out. She was, of course, the star of Gross Point Blank, maybe? something. Anyway, she says she could not live in a Republican state if Donald Trump is reelected, which is an interesting qualifier there. So she could live in a Republican state without Donald Trump as president. Okay, so she could deal with a Republican governor. She also could live in a Democratic state if Donald Trump was president, I think. So, like, she'd be fine living in a region that was locally, controlled by Democrats. And she's fine with federally, you know, Hitler, Orange Hitler over there, he can cover everything and he can do whatever he wants. But I just want to make sure my local tax policy is okay. It's a very strange line she's drawn, but we now know at least what it is, so you can make decisions on how to live your life. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, he's at a North Carolina church meeting, and the headline is, quote, "Some folks need killing." And that's what I would call a suboptimal headline for you and your campaign. So again, it's the typical thing that happens. Does anybody look at what he's actually saying here? Let me read you the full context of it for a second. "We now find ourselves struggling with people who have evil intent. You know, there was a time in which we used to meet evil on the battlefield." See, he's talking about a military thing now. "Guess what we did to it? We killed it. We didn't quibble about it. We didn't argue about it. We didn't fight about it. We killed it." And you might say, well, you're making that up. He just said the battlefield. That could be anything. I mean, what's he really talking about? How do we know? One way to know is to listen to the next sentence where he says, "You know, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, what did we do? We flew to Japan and we killed the Japanese army and navy. We didn't quibble about it. We didn't start this fight. You did. You wanted to be left alone? You should have left me alone. We didn't argue and capitulate and talk about, well, maybe we shouldn't fight the Nazis because that we didn't fight them that hard. No, they're bad. Kill them. Some liberal somewhere is going to say that sounds awful. Too bad. Get mad at me if you want to. Some folks need killing." There's your quote, by the way. "It's time for somebody to say it. It's not a matter of vengeance. It's not a matter of being mean or spiteful. It's a matter of necessity." He said, "When you have wicked people doing wicked things, torturing, murdering, and raping, it's time to call out the guys in green and have them handled, or the boys in blue and have them go handle it." Look, you could argue whether, you know, he should be making a speech like that, I suppose, because he knows it's going to get taken out of context. But he's talking about literal Nazis, literally Japan in World War II, literally rapists and murderers, talking about the military and or police taking care of them. I mean, it's pretty much the way the law works, right? It's shocking that we go down these roads. And let me give you this one, too, that my pet story here. My man, Jay Johnston, former star of Anchorman and Mr. Show, most importantly, Mr. Show, pleads guilty to January 6th Capitol attack. We talked about how he's going to plead guilty. He has now pled guilty. By the way, pleading guilty to what? A felony offense of obstructing officers during a civil disorder. Now, not assaulting them, but obstructing them during a civil disorder. They said that he handed up a stolen U.S. Capitol police shield to other rioters. Not that he stole it, but he handed it to somebody. And he also helped people clear their eyes of tear gas and participated with other rioters in a group assault for, quote, a few seconds. Now, again, I've not seen video of this incident. Lots of video. Not seen any video of this incident, but he has now pled guilty to that low offense, which, by the way, looks like it will be either probation or a few months in jail. So we will see and follow the legacy of the Free Jay Johnston movement as we go forward. Let's be honest about it. You're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. I'm sorry, I don't mean to accuse you, but I mean, you watch this show, probably you're eating too much Taco Bell. Maybe not enough from the fruits and vegetables column each day. And there's a huge gap in our nutrition because we don't do it as Americans. We just don't. We take the convenient way out, and I understand that. We're all busy, but Balance of Nature can make it a convenient way to have your fruits and vegetables. They provide an on-the-go solution, and they haven't raised their prices for 10 years. It's a proprietary blend of 31 fruits and vegetables, come in easy-to-swallow capsules, and will give your body so much of the nourishment it needs. Try eating 31 kinds of produce in a single day. You're not going to be able to do that. I mean, maybe if you're a competitive eater. Like, maybe if you're Joey Chestnut, you could pull that off, but I wouldn't recommend it. Balance of Nature makes this easy. Fruits and veggies coming to you. When you get to balanceofnature.com, you get 35% off, plus a free fiber and spice supplement with your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code STEW. You'll save a ton of money while getting the fruits and vegetables you need in your diet. Make a splash into summer with Balance of Nature supplements. Go to balanceofnature.com, balanceofnature.com. Sign up as a new preferred customer and use the promo code STEW to get 35% off your first order plus a free fiber and spice supplement. Hurry, the offer is only available while supplies last. So go to balanceofnature.com, balanceofnature.com. The promo code is STEW. Just a reminder, we've got live broadcasts on our YouTube channel. Whenever big stuff happens during this election season, go there, subscribe, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Follow the page and click the bell for notifications so you know when these special broadcasts are popping up. We have a lot of them coming forward. We're going to need them this election season. That, I promise you.